Welcome to Executive Success. I'm Leslie Everett, and today we explore the choices, the habits, the leadership moves that shape extraordinary executives. You're watching Now Media Television. Welcome to Executive Success, the show where we uncover what it takes to lead with impact, integrity, and influence in today's evolving landscape. I'm your host, Leslie Everett, and today we're joined by a leader who has built a reputation for clarity, compassion, and results in one of the most trusted financial institutions in the world. Hannah Quinton is Vice President and Branch Manager at Charles Schwab, where she leads a team of financial consultants who are dedicated to helping clients build secure and confident financial futures. With expertise across wealth management, investing, portfolio analysis, and college planning, Hannah empowers people to take true ownership of their financial lives through Schwab's modern, transparent approach. Hannah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so thrilled
to have you here. Where I want to start, I believe that a lot of leaders today, when I come across, underestimate the power and the influence that early experiences and challenges and pivotal moments have on their style of leadership. So I really want to delve into that and look at your story. So you've built an impressive career and a very impressive career serving currently as Vice President Branch Manager at Charles Schwab. Can you share the story of how you reached where you are now and what the key decisions or pivotal moments there were in you getting to where you are today?
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. When I first got into the financial services industry, I had every intention of being an advisor, an individual contributor. And shortly into my career, I was tapped on the shoulder. I was really a junior advisor at the time. And I'd been at the firm, a previous firm, for only 9 months when I was approached by one of my senior leaders to take over as the branch manager there. And it was a daunting task. I accepted the role on the condition that if I failed, that they would give me the role back, my other role. But here I am all these years later. So something worked out.
That's amazing. So what you're probably saying there is sometimes you have to put yourself out of your comfort zone in a big way to get to where you want to be. I think leaders don't get to where they are if they're successful without saying, I've got to just go with this. What's the worst that can happen? I've really got to let go of the side and push myself outside the comfort zone. And that was a very big leap for you at that point.
It was. And I asked, John was my leader at the time. And I said, well, why me? You know, there was people with 20 plus years experience. And he said, he goes, well, I just see the way people respond and listen to you. And I really think that you could do this job well. So,
and he had belief and he was right. So, yeah, sometimes we have to listen.
That's right.
So before you joined Charles Schwab, you were in other careers earlier in your career and other roles.
Yes.
What do you think, looking back, you could take from those roles that have been pivotal to leadership today in your story?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think that... thinking about the different roles that I've had, different leaders that I've had, I've learned things that I want to, that I really love and I want to do, and things that not so much. And so I think that having done different positions and prior to working in finance, I worked in retail. And so that taught me a lot about patience and client service and really a different way of working with the clients and the team.
I think it's quite extraordinary how many leaders I come across who have actually had some kind of retail customer service background. I think there's something there that teaches us about how people think and operate and gives us that leg up, as it were, to successful leadership.
I remember early on when hiring and looking for talent, it would be my team, HR that I was working with, they were looking at resumes that had just a financial services background. And I said, no, give me somebody, I'm open-minded, give me somebody that has retail or restaurant experience, because those jobs are really challenging. And if you can really work well with clients at the end of the day and do it well,
yeah,
I think that those are skill sets that are transferable.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. Knowing people and understanding people and being empathetic is so key to successful leadership. When did you first recognize that leadership was going to be a big part of your career future rather than just the technical expertise?
Well, I think I've always been a leader. I think, and I didn't realize this until hindsight, that I, you know, growing up, I was chosen to be the leader of group projects, whether it's in school or otherwise. And so I think that it took somebody else recognizing it in me for me to kind of, I always say it's like that little black dress. You try on different dresses and see what fits, and then suddenly you find the perfect one, and it fits, and you know it's right. And to me, that's how leadership has been.
It really felt part of your DNA, yeah, part of who you
absolutely.
You are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I wonder how many leaders do feel like that. So it's one of those things that I don't know that everybody feels that, or sometimes I come across leaders that maybe don't feel that comfortable in leadership, and maybe there is another breadth to the career that they could go. But that's fascinating that you say that. So,
well, and I think early on in my career too, when I was first promoted to a branch manager, I had imposter syndrome. I felt I didn't know what I was doing. I was just going through the motions, or so I thought. But then I was nominated by my team for a challenging and inspiring award at a corporate level. It was a huge honor. And it really, I think I had a shift there that, well, maybe I could do this. Maybe I got this. And I think that sometimes going back again, having others recognize and believe something in you, it really helps. It's very uplifting.
Yeah, and I'd imagine that that's something that you bring into a lot of your team now when you develop them. So it's amazing that it took something as a nomination for a big award to help you believe that you actually were pretty good at what you do. You know, that is something that we struggle with a lot. And I think a lot of female leaders, particularly that I work with, struggle with imposter syndrome, although everybody does to a degree. So maybe we should be listening to people more than we do sometimes about when they tell us how good we are at something. But
yeah.
Looking back, what do you think, what have been some habits that you've developed that have really helped support your effective and very successful leadership?
I don't know if it's a habit, but something I consistently do is surround myself with people who are challengers, people who I absolutely trust. I love to have a leadership team that, you know, my partners in this that are opposite of me. And I know, you know, a lot of folks do that, but I think that really having somebody who's going to hold a mirror up to you and say, what you're doing isn't quite right. And I remember my assistant manager, one time I had to deliver a message to the team, and it was early on with the team I have now. I'd just taken over that branch, and I was trying to deliver a message, and I just knew it the way it came out just wasn't, it didn't feel good, or didn't feel quite right. And I asked him, I said, you know, how was that? And he goes, you bombed that. And I was like, yeah, I know. And so then we worked together. I said, okay, well, give me some coaching. You know, how can you help me? Like, what do you think could have resonated? And kind of brainstormed. And so I think being humble and being able to recognize and have somebody, maybe that somebody that reports to you, they know more. You can learn from them. So
you really can. And I think, you know, but kudos to you as well in creating a culture where your team can tell you honestly where things need to be told, you know, things or challenge and be curious about how we can make things better. You know, not every leader develops a culture that allows the team that safety, that security, that psychological safety to be able to say, hey, you might want to think about how you did that, or maybe that doesn't land as you think it did. So I think that's kudos to you as well in having that culture to allow people to. It is critical. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. And it's not easy to create. So was there a turning point that significantly set you on the path to leadership, do you think, when you look back?
I can't think that there was one pivotal moment. I think, like I mentioned earlier, just it kind of being in my DNA, I think that just having the right opportunity and having somebody recognize that in myself helped me to kind of grow into that and really is still stretching myself in different ways. But I think that they're just really kind of progressing and kind of harnessing the challenges that lie ahead. I think just having that opportunity to kind of walk through the door, have a seat at the table was.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then you've got to maintain that as well. So how is the imposter syndrome doing now at this point in your career?
Where have it. I don't know if it ever goes away. It just shifts, right? Yeah. There's certain things that you feel really confident in, but other things that, you know, I think that's part of challenging yourself. If we're in our comfort zone constantly, then you wouldn't have imposter syndrome because you know you can do something, but it's challenging yourself, challenging your team, being vulnerable with them, and being able to say, hey, we're going to try something new and different. I've never done this before, but hey, let's give it a go. So I think that their imposter syndrome, you know, rears its ugly head every now and again.
And it's possibly healthy too.
But it keeps things interesting.
Absolutely, sure. It does. Well, thank you for that. And coming up, we're going to be delving into how Hannah identifies talent, because this is something that she's known for, how she nurtures talent and how she develops those skills within her team. So we'll be right back. We'll be right back with more strategies, stories, and steps to help you level up as a leader. This is Executive Success on Now Media Television. Every executive faces challenges, but not every executive learns to turn them into breakthroughs. I'm Leslie Everett, and on Executive Success, we bring you insights, strategy, stories from leaders who have built remarkable careers. We'll dig into executive branding, communication, leadership mindset, team dynamics, and how to navigate pivotal moments in your executive journey. Catch Executive Success weekly on Now Media Television, your front row seat to leadership mastery. Lead with clarity, grow with purpose, achieve with integrity. And we're back. I'm Leslie Everett, and you're watching Executive Success on Now Media Television. Let's continue building your executive edge. Welcome back to Executive Success. We're here with Hannah Quinton, and now we shift from her personal journey to her leadership philosophy, especially around developing people. In an industry driven by trust and performance, Hannah is well known for spotting potential talent, cultivating it, and helping people grow into their best professional selves. So Hannah, a lot of leaders that I come across struggle with developing talent and nurturing the talent and lots of talent challenges generally. It takes up a lot of a leader's time, obviously. And I want to start looking at how you balance business success with developing and nurturing people so that they can thrive. And you're well known for recognizing and nurturing talent. It's one of your deep skills as a leader. What's your philosophy when it comes to spotting potential and then how you cultivate that perhaps into high-level performance?
Well, I think spotting potential in people, it's kind of challenging because you see it when you know it when you see it. There's things that there's just certain people you meet that just it resonates. But I think it's also listening to your intuition, listening to your gut. And sometimes, I mean, I've talked myself into or out of potentially hiring somebody. Maybe they had all the qualifications, but they would be a cultural mismatch for our firm or my team. But I think it's also when I think about developing talent, I think it's thinking outside the box. Does somebody have that grit? Does somebody have what it takes? How do people respond to them? How bad do they want that? And so just as, like I shared earlier, somebody identified that in me, I really love to identify that in others. You know, they say that there's skill versus will.
And yes.
Will wins all the time because you can learn the skill, but, you know, give me somebody who has that grit and that tenacity to really work hard and share a vision, and we can get there.
We can get there. Have you actually made a mistake and knew you did it at the time where you hired perhaps for the skill because there was brilliance there and maybe the attitude wasn't quite where you wanted it to be, but thought that perhaps you could get through that?
It's funny you should ask that. I was thinking about this recently. Early on in my career, I at a different firm, I had hired somebody. There was an advisor there who had been with the firm for over 35 years, was retiring, but had really kind of become slowed down in his career. And I was this hungry and young leader, and I wanted, you know, I was fired up. So I hired somebody that was complete 180, completely different, very sales driven, hungry. And I was thinking about my own personal goals, my own personal, like, I want to, you know, I was thinking about me, and I wasn't thinking about our clients, and I wasn't thinking about the team dynamic and in the future. So of what was going to happen. And this person was a complete mismatch for the firm. Wonderful person, but just not the right person for our clients. They kind of were scratching their head saying, you know, wait, I worked with this person who is a very soft-spoken, very wonderful gentleman in this other woman who was very much a spitfire. It just was a little bit of a culture shock. But I think from that I learned it's not about me. It's not about what I'm doing. I was hiring for me. I need to lead with what's right for the clients. How's it going to impact the team? How can I round out and have good skill sets across the board so we can meet clients where they're at?
Yeah, it's a challenge to do that, of course. And often I find that leaders will recruit people like themselves as well. And that's not always a good thing. And I think that's something that you think about as well, is hiring people that may be even better at some things than you are.
Yeah, I actually do the opposite. I look for, whether it's my leadership team or the individuals on my team, how can they add something different? How are they unique? I remember early on, there was a young woman that I worked with, and I really saw that she had leadership potential. And senior leaders within the organization said, no, she had never sat in the seat. She had never been an advisor. She couldn't lead a team of advisors. And I said, I challenged them. I said, I really think that she could do it. And I worked with her when I knew I was getting promoted and leaving my current position or previous position. I worked with her. I said, here's going to be the three objections that you have. So let's get you a mentor. Let's get you, you know, let's focus on having somebody from a sales organization, a crossover from operation to sales leadership. Got her different resources so she can hone that skill set and really go into the interview addressing, yes, I know I hadn't sat in that seat, but here's what I've done.
Yeah.
And so she ended up getting the role and did quite well.
Amazing. Another accolade to you in spotting that nobody else could really see that. And it is giving people a chance. And I often see with leaders, this, again, it's a big thing that crops up a lot when I'm coaching people, is delegation and empowering people and giving them the chance. Because often you find that they're capable of even more than you even thought they were once you trust them and put them into a responsible role and one where they can thrive.
But I think that's it. You have to trust. People have to earn the trust. And so as our Chuck Schwab always says, trust is everything earned over time and lost in an instant.
Absolutely.
And I love that saying.
Yeah.
But it does take time. And so, but that's where giving people the opportunities to earn your trust is critical.
Yes, it is. And I think you touched on something there that I think is so powerful as a leader is trust. And it just emanates throughout the entire team culture, trust in each other as well, collaboration within the team, not just trust in you as a leader or you trusting in them. It's a huge piece. And I think especially in the industry that you're in. And I love the Chuck Schwab quote as well. It's something that I think about a lot, and I'm sure it's something that you repeat and everybody knows it on a day-to-day basis, because it's something that we come back to, especially in the world we're in now. That trust piece, whichever way and angle you look at it, is critical. How do you balance the need for business growth with developing people? Because there's only so much time you have, but how do you balance that?
Well, I think it is challenging. I think you have to start with building the relationships with your team. They have to trust you just as you have to trust them. And so being able to know your team deeply, knowing what's their why do they show up every day? Is it to put their kids through college? Is it to because they love fancy vacations? Or is it because they just really want to do good in the world and really love what they do? Whatever their individual why is, being able to harness that, come back to that. But also, I had one of my consultants recently said, one of his peers had said, well, why did you do that? And he said, I don't know, because HQ told me to. And he goes, they tell me to do something. She tells me, and I just do it because we worked together for many years and we have built that trust and that rapport. And it was just something minor. It was just try using the tools and technology a little bit different. I want you to just do it. Just give it a whirl. And so it wasn't a big thing, but it actually worked. Mm-hmm. And he was able to be more efficient and have some success from what he was trying. But had that trust not been there, but I also knew he would be somebody good to try out this new feature and stuff. So
I think what you're saying is by trusting, by knowing the people that work in your team, they have this sense of safety and respect and being valued, and you know what really motivates them. Therefore, the performance goes up.
Absolutely, because I believe that people are more fulfilled when they are seen, they're heard, they're known. I've seen where it's backfired. There's other leaders I've seen where they don't take the time to get to know people. You know, some new leaders will come in sometimes and try to clean house and put their own mark on things, and they just really miss the point of getting to know people deeply. I think it's an important part of us as leaders to help develop our people to live fully and have success.
I agree, totally agree. And how do you keep this? What systems and practices to perhaps you put in place? So are there any regular or systems or practices that you build into the team to sustain this high performing culture, if you like? Is there one piece of practical advice, one thing that you do that could help leaders today?
I believe that checking in and with the team, short micro bursts of time, and often daily, I'm walking, my morning walking office to office, greeting everybody, checking in, seeing how they're doing.
Excellent.
Just that quick little touch point can identify whether somebody's having a good day, somebody's having a bad day, somebody needs to go for a walk and talk.
Absolutely.
Just having that good pulse on the team.
Great. So if people want to follow you, Hannah, and your leadership journey, where can they best see or connect with you?
Sure. Well, I'm on LinkedIn. So Hannah Quinton at LinkedIn is probably
the best way.
Yeah, sure. Also, you can find me on schwab.com and just search for my name, and
Find you. Great. Yeah. Thank you. Well, next we're going to get up into vulnerability and lessons learned. So I'm keen to sort of delve into that. You shared a little bit already, but we'll go a little deeper on that. Okay. We'll be right back with more strategies, stories, and steps to help you level up as a leader. This is Executive Success on Now Media Television. Every executive faces challenges, but not every executive learns to turn them into breakthroughs. I'm Leslie Everett, and on Executive Success, we bring you insights, strategy, stories from leaders who have built remarkable careers. We'll dig into executive branding, communication, leadership mindset, team dynamics, and how to navigate pivotal moments in your executive journey. Catch Executive Success weekly on Now Media Television, your front row seat to leadership mastery. Lead with clarity, grow with purpose, achieve with integrity. And we're back. I'm Leslie Everett, and you're watching Executive Success on Now Media Television. Let's continue building your executive edge. Welcome back to Executive Success. In this segment, we dive into something all leaders experience but rarely talk about. That's vulnerability. Growth often comes from failure, uncertainty, or tough lessons. And Hannah's journey provides powerful insights into how leaders grow through adversity. I think people often think, Hannah, that a successful leader's trajectory has been very sort of straight line. And no career changes, no bumps in the way. That's what makes a successful leader. They've just done it smoothly. And of course, we know that's not really the case. So I want to reframe vulnerability as a strength here and as a catalyst for perhaps leadership maturity. So can you tell us about a moment where in your leadership journey, you felt perhaps exposed or uncertain, or you made a mistake? And what did you do about it to recover? Sorry to put you on the spot there, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, how much time do we have here? You know, there's so many little mistakes that have been made, some big mistakes. But I think with everything, it's how you come back from it. Mm-hmm. So whether it's delivering a message to the team, and like I shared earlier, of it not going so well, or maybe making a misjudgment of something with somebody's skill set or where they're at in their mm-hmm. career. I think it's just being able to have an open dialogue afterwards and just be completely, you know, I made a mistake, being completely open and owning it, and just being real about what is.
Has this happened to you?
Can
you give us an example?
Well, I think there was, you know, that I'm a leader, but I'm human, and I was having a really bad day, and I just remember going into a coaching conversation with one of my team members, and I was probably harder than I should have been, and was maybe giving a little bit tougher message, and it was my mistake. I didn't need to be, there was reasons why this person was not having a certain level of success. And I just didn't take the time to really see that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, you know, delivering a tough message, probably tougher than it needed to be, that I had to come back and say, you know, I was wrong there. I was wrong. And, you know, I apologize, and let's start over.
Yeah, so you drew a line under that and moved on.
Yeah.
But it's about admitting, like you said earlier, admitting that you maybe didn't do as best you could, you weren't on your game, and just looking at how you can move on from there. I think one of the mistakes that often people make, or leaders make, is not apologizing, not admitting it, and then not addressing it. And then that's, in my viewpoint, in terms of the work I do, it's a black mark on the brand. It dilutes the brand that you work so hard to build up.
Another thing I'd also say with that is that I think so often leaders try to separate their personal life and their professional life in terms of vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And I have learned through the years, and especially, you know, I've been with my team for over five years now. We've really gotten to know each other and gone through highs and lows of life. And I have learned that if I'm going through something challenging in my life or something really wonderful, if I share that with them, it actually deepens the relationship of, hey, you know what? If things are really great and I want to share this with you, or I'm really, you know, dealing with some stuff, you don't have to get into the details, but it's an openness, it's a vulnerability. Yeah. And then in turn, they will be more open and vulnerable with me.
Of course.
It's a reciprocal.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it's cyclical, going back to what you said before, then the trust is there and they can feel more comfortable and secure in their role, and the performance goes up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you've got the great culture. Yeah. Great. Are there any principles that you live by every single day in leadership? You've outlined some of the way that you treat staff, of course. Mm-hmm. Are there any principles for you yourself that you kind of live by every day to make sure you're always on track or on game?
Being impeccable with your word. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Or if you're not able to do it, at least acknowledge it and have a discussion. So I really think that that's one of the key principles that I do live by. I think also, of course, is trust and really having trusting people around. So I surround myself with people that I trust. And that I know trust me as well.
Yeah. You're very successful at that. And a lot of leaders struggle to learn that. Mm. And you know, it's something that comes quite naturally to you, it seems, but you probably had to work on it over the years.
Yes, I have. One thing I remember that was a real pivotal moment for me was when I had been offered a career advancement. And it was a really great opportunity, but the year prior I had received a promotion. So there was a lot of stuff going on and I had committed to my new team. There was three things that I was going to accomplish with that team. And then when this other promotion came out of nowhere, it was a huge honor. I was really, really excited about taking that, but you know, I talked to my colleagues and they said, oh, you'd be a fool not to take it. You have to take it. It's great. And then I called my mentor and one of the best mentors I've ever had. And I said to her, I said, what do you think I should do? And she said, you know, Hannah, the difference with you, you know, is you're not just doing it to go up the ladder. She's like, you like to go deep with people and you invest in the people. And you know, I ended up declining the offer based on her advice. And I don't regret it. The day that I became the branch manager for my team in San Mateo is the same day that the last commitment I made to that prior team was complete. So it came full circle. And I felt really great about it. I felt a sense of integrity. Absolutely. I felt that I had not let my team down, followed through. So
what a fantastic story. That takes a great deal of courage to turn down a role like that. But looking back, it was absolutely the right thing.
Yeah.
And often I feel we've had a show where I've had somebody on who's been talking very much about values. And I think sometimes when we operate and make decisions in line with our values, what's important, it's always the right decision. The ones where we operate outside of our values because we think it should be the thing to do, but it doesn't make sense to us, but it makes logical sense elsewhere. Those are the times where we realize we made the mistakes. So, you know, being true to your values there, which was important to you, paid off, I think. How do you keep yourself sharp as a leader in terms of your personal development? What do you do?
I think surrounding yourself with people that are, I consider, smarter than me, better than me, constantly be learning, trying to, you know, take on new projects. Keep things fresh and not become complacent. You know, our world is constantly evolving. Mm-hmm. And so we need to try to keep up. Kind of hard sometimes, but I think one of the things for me in my career that I am really proud of is the network of people that I have, whether it's mentors or friends, colleagues. My colleagues are, you know, they're the lifeline in the day. They're the best friends at work that you can call when, you know, how would you do this? Or give me some perspective. And I think that that's a real important aspect that people you know, investing in others, you know, in those relationships is really important.
Absolutely. Do you do any external training or I guess internal training for that matter? Is there, how do you keep yourself fresh? What's going on outside the industry as well as inside the industry?
Yeah, I've taken a couple of courses through UC Berkeley. I've taken some of their executive leadership courses. I do, you know, enjoy getting certain designations to advance my career. We do internal, you know, trainings. You could always do more though. There's always this, I could do a little bit more, but I just try to keep up with the times.
Yeah, it's a challenge with everything else. I mean, there's so many plates you need to spin as a as a leader today. It is tough. I always remember a previous CEO. He was CEO for Asda Walmart in the UK, and I work with him, his leadership team. And I remember him saying one day, you know, when you get to CEO, and he was presenting this to the leadership team, I don't stop learning. But where I get my learning from now is outside the company, outside the industry. Mm-hmm. And I make sure that I keep my brain alert, fresh, relevant in those respects. That's always stayed with me. I think that's a very powerful thing. What do you think is an emerging challenge coming up for leaders, particularly in the financial sector now in the next 5-10 years?
I think that there is just our the internet's flooded with information. You know, you think about AI, and AI is really great, very useful, lots of great opportunities to leverage that, but it also has its flaws. And I've seen a lot of clients think what they read online, they do their own research, and there's things that could be missed. And so what I see as a challenge is finding a way to leverage AI to make us faster, more efficient, but also not lose that human touch. Because there's, you can plug in something for, you know, ChatGPT to try to get the information, and all of a sudden something pops out, but they don't take the human emotion. They don't take how sitting across a table from an advisor or working with, you know, a team, how that's really impacting the client. And so I think that just the flood of information that's out there is a challenge. And I think that we just have to navigate and figure out a way to evolve and move ourselves into that.
Totally agree. To grow. I totally agree. It is a challenge, but it's balancing the two, as you say. So we'll be right back. And coming up, we're going to look more deeply into authenticity and see what lessons Hannah has for us there that she hasn't shared already. We'll be right back with more strategies, stories, and steps to help you level up as a leader. This is Executive Success on Now Media Television. Every executive faces challenges, but not every executive learns to turn them into breakthroughs. I'm Leslie Everett, and on Executive Success, we bring you insights, strategy, stories from leaders who have built remarkable careers. We'll dig into executive branding, communication, leadership mindset, team dynamics, and how to navigate pivotal moments in your executive journey. Catch Executive Success weekly on Now Media Television, your front row seat to leadership mastery. Lead with clarity, grow with purpose, achieve with integrity. And we're back. I'm Leslie Everett, and you're watching Executive Success on Now Media Television. Let's continue building your executive edge. Welcome back to Executive Success. Don't miss a second of this show or any of your Now Media TV favorites, streaming live and on demand whenever and wherever you want. Grab the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our lineup of bilingual programs in both English and Spanish. Prefer podcasts? Listen to Executive Success anytime in the Now Media TV on the Now Media TV website at nowmedia.tv. Covering business, breaking news, lifestyle, culture, and more, Now Media TV is available 24/7, so the stories you care about are always within reach. Welcome back to Executive Success. In this closing segment, we shift into authenticity in a deeper way. And I really want to look at how Hannah shapes her team's environment and what she hopes leaders can take away from her journey. Because this is where leadership becomes personal, meaningful, and deeply human. And we've heard a lot of that from Hannah already. But I really want to go a little deeper on this whole authenticity piece. And we've seen a lot from you about how authentic you are and how you've grown into that and how you've developed that within yourself. I want to ask you the question of how do you help your individual team members to become as authentic as they possibly can be?
I think that creating a safe space for different personalities or different nuances. We're all human, right? And so one thing I've done is I've created my leadership philosophy. It's a one-page document that outlines, there's 10 or 11 different bullet points of things that I live by. For example, while you report to me, I work for you is one of those. And so it's something that I outline for my team. So they know this is authentically me, but then I have to show up. It's also here, let me put this on display. Let me share this with you. Once I do that, then I have to live by it. And it's helping me to become authentic. But then I ask my team to share with me what would be their philosophy. What would they like? And I think creating a space that it people are open, that vulnerability we discussed earlier. I think when you have that, it creates a really great culture of authenticity and care and caring deeply for each other. Not just me, but it's the team. I think about a story recently. One of my financial consultants closed the largest deal of her career. She'd worked with this client for many, many years. And it was a real high five moment because she was doing what was right for the client and was able to finally see it come to fruition. And I was going upstairs to go celebrate with her and give her, a high five and hug and celebrate. And I walk upstairs and there's two other advisors already in her office celebrating with her.
Nice.
And that to me is an authentic culture, individual contributors celebrating each other's successes. We all win. It was a very proud moment for me.
I bet it was. And I bet you stood back at that moment for a few seconds and thought, wow, yeah, I've created a great team here, and the way they celebrate with each other.
I think really proud.
I love that. So I was going to ask you, is there an example of where they've shown up? Do you build in anything along storytelling? Do you help individuals to develop their own story and think about their background and how important that is to their career now and what they're giving to their clients, most importantly?
That's one of the first things my assistant manager and I do is sit with our team members, whether they're a client relationship specialist at the front desk or they're one of our senior financial consultants. One of the things that we ask everybody to do is work on their branding message, their positioning statement, because it tells about who you are, who you are and your why. And that so often people don't know why they do what they do. And I was actually in an interview just last week and I asked the candidate to tell me why they got into finance and it was, they gave the cookie cutter canned approach. And I said, okay, I'm going to hold up right there because I don't know if anybody's ever walked through this with you. And kind of talked about, let me share my story. Let me share my why. And then I want you to think about what made you show up here today. And let's talk through that. So the rest of the interview was working on this person's branding statement. And at the end of it, I was like, what an inspirational story. It was so fantastic. I said, see, that's your why. I said, you go home, you practice that, you refine it, you condense it. Because when you sit with clients, you sit with your team and you share that, it says a little bit about you. And then people will trust you and break down and they'll be more open to share about themselves.
I love that, of course, because that's a lot of the time what I'm doing with my clients is Absolutely. Looking at the back story and what experiences you have that really shape you. And I think we can think back through our life story. And often psychologists will say you could think back to your life story for the first 5 years to start with, and then 5 to 12 years, 12 to 20 years, mm-hmm. 20 onwards. And some of those pivotal moments, those experiences, those challenging times that when you think back through that have really shaped who you are today. And they make amazing stories to build in to presentations and client meetings and being able to ask the right questions that so that that dialogue's going with the client that then builds them into your world and engages and builds that trust that you need. So I think storytelling is a hugely important part of development today. I have clients who focus on that big time throughout their sales training and how to build that in. And not everybody finds it easy. One of the things I build into my training courses is to have people, whenever I'm working with a group of leaders, is to share one thing on the table that not many people know about you. Mm-hmm. And it's like everybody's, whoa, I haven't done anything that's really outstanding. Or no, it doesn't have to be outstanding. And you'd be amazed at what comes out. I'm sure you've done similar things. What comes out in their background that they've probably forgotten about, really, but actually is so relevant to another dynamic of their brand. So I love that. If you had to pick one insight from your story, your background story, however long ago it might be, what might that be that could has shaped your leadership or could help others to shape their leadership today?
That's challenging. Because I think there's certain bits and pieces of my story that shape me. But I think that, prior to getting into finance, I worked in retail, as I spoke about. And it was, I had a pretty good career. And then my mother got sick. And she was very sick for 3.5 weeks. And shortly thereafter, and I sat there at the hospital watching these doctors and nurses. Oh, they're doing this great work. They're saving my mom's life. I bet they feel wonderful when they lay their head down at night. And I was like, wow, I really want to do something. And then shortly thereafter was 9/11. And that moment, all of that combined, just said, you know what? I want to do something that when I lay my head down at night, I feel really great that I made a difference in this world. And so I think trying to live true to that every day, that's why I show up. That's why I do what I do. That's why I care about the team, because if the team is successful, they're helping our clients be successful. And that at the end of the day, I can lay my head down at night and go to sleep and feel really good.
I did good today.
Yeah. I did a good job. Not every day is a good job. But some are better
than others. Set out to be do good. And I think that I would encourage any leader to think about, what are your philosophies that you live by every day? What's really important? I find a lot of leaders lose their way a little bit and are molded by the outside world of expectations. This is what I need, how I need to behave. Mm-hmm. This is who I need to be. And it's so far removed from who they really are. And once you can uncover that piece, what really motivates you? Why are you here? Why do you do the job you do in the way that you do it? Yeah. Once you get that, you can see amazing things happen and gets outside that kind of tunnel vision almost of why I'm here as a leader. And I think as we go through our careers and through the years as a leader, we different things motivate us as well. So we have to be mindful of that as well.
And I think too, I'll just add on revisiting it. So like I said, I have my leadership philosophy. Mm-hmm. You know what? I haven't revisited it in about a year. Wow. So because things change.
Yep.
And hopefully I will evolve just as that document will evolve.
Yes.
Right? So revisiting it, spending time to actually kind of take the time to review it, I think, for the future.
Yeah, I think, and I love the fact that you've got this leadership philosophy sheet. And, I just think it's great for everybody to do that, whatever stage of leadership they are, when they're stepping into leadership for the first time, having that, what sort of leader do you want to be, and really thinking about that rather than all the other things that terrify us about going into leadership for the first time. But what do you think there is one practical step that an individual can take to elevate their leadership that they may not be doing today? Is there one thing that you could say if you were mentoring a young leader going into their first, you know, leadership role, senior leadership role, perhaps, what would be one thing that could help them elevate that, you think, from your experience?
I have like millions. Several. Yeah, I know. I'm trying. Okay, which one? I think that there's trust. When people tell you you're doing a good job, that you're doing a good job.
Great. Love that. Excellent. Yeah.
But
being
also
recognized.
And stretching yourself. Get comfortable getting uncomfortable.
I love those. I could talk to you for hours. And Hannah, this has been incredibly valuable. Thank you so much. You've said that people can follow you on LinkedIn, which is probably the best way. So on the Charles Schwab website, they can find you there. Thank you for bringing us into your story, the growth, the honesty, the leadership evolution that you've shared with us today, and the culture that you're just continuing to shape there every day. And I think your insights are a powerful roadmap for any leader. So thank you very much for joining us. And thank you to our viewers today. And continue growing, continue reflecting, and continue showing up as the leader you want to be. We'll see you next time on Executive Success.